making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Cover and I'm talking over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older.
Hey, this Sunday.
I just want to use your love tonight.
Woo! Start to feel like games.
I don't want to lose your love tonight.
Perry adjustment here.
Phil Perry is tied up, and we knew that he might be late today, but it turns out he's going to be really late. Probably not.
Until what are you tied him up?
He's doing some interview with Chris Collinsworth. I don't know what is it for their pregame. I don't know what it is. I shouldn't even talk about it because I don't know what he's doing.
NBC tie-in, so it makes sense.
When there's Sunday night football, you got a local station like ours, NBC Sports Boston, where there's a tie-in to the national programming and all of that stuff. In fact,
maybe it's for football fix. Who knows?
I don't think it is.
Nah.
We got to get to some Rodney Harrison sound, do we not?
Sure do.
As we mentioned this, to start this noontime hour, which, again, doesn't have Phil Perry in it as of now, but hopefully Phil will be here as soon as he can be today.
We should have Tom Curran come in and sit in for him.
Even without Phil Perry, this hour of Zolak and Bertrand brought to you by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. They have everything you need to make your Sunday night football party or tailgate a huge success. Get details at stopandshop.com. It's going to be a little cool on Sunday as far as the tailgating goes, but I don't think that's going to stop anybody. I don't think that weather is going to get in the way of any tailgating plans for Sunday. Still warm enough to be comfortable wearing a sweatshirt or something. Right? All right. Why don't we get to Rodney Harrison? What has Rodney Harrison been talking about as it relates to Sunday night's game? Tight ends on these two teams.
I would say at this point, our safety plan, man-to-man coverage, I would probably have a little bit more trouble defending Travis Kelce as opposed to Gronk. Gronk is huge. He's a big guy. Obviously, he pushes off and he uses his body well. But at this point in time, just the level of speed and athleticism, the youth factor, the fact that Kelce has been healthy, the quickness, and his route running, I would say Kelce at this time is the better tight end.
Agree or disagree?
I disagree. Because tight ends are asked to do more than just run around, be quick, great spacing, and catch the football. Gronk does everything. And I don't think he's right now. The youth thing, is he 5 years younger than Rob Gronkowski?
Helping him prove his point by saying he's not right now?
Right. A little bit. But
he's not saying who's been the better tight end or who is the better tight end in their prime with health. He's saying right now, in this league, if you're a safety, who's harder to cover?
Right now, Kelce.
Yeah, I don't think he's wrong on this. And I don't think it's a shot at Gronk either.
I mean, week one, Gronk was doubled and tripled, and they still forced the ball to him, but he was right that week. See?
You ask me,
ask me in 4 weeks when he's right. I don't know. It changes.
You ask in general, who's the better tight end?
Right.
I say, well, it's Rob Gronkowski. It's not even close.
Yeah.
And I say, what do you mean? Of course it's close. And I said, yeah, it is because Kelce's right behind him.
Yeah.
But in terms of who I would want, I don't have to sit there and think a long time about that.
There's this myth out there that the youth part is advantage. Kelce, they're 4 months apart.
Same age.
Birth. They're same age.
Same age.
Same age. Rob came out of Arizona early. Kelce, I think, stayed in school for four. I think he was in for 5 years, got redshirted, played a fifth year. So there's your difference in games accrued. Now, Rob has a lot more, I think, surgeries and injuries that he's had to overcome. So you could say there's more miles, and more miles have been stacked up on Rob.
I mean, Kelce's only played four full seasons.
This is his fifth full season this year. Finesse tight end. He doesn't block. He doesn't do anything else.
Well, he doesn't block at the line of scrimmage.
He'll get in your way. He'll ear hole you.
He will block downfield.
He'll trick block you.
Yeah. He will block downfield. He will block downfield against, a safety or a corner or whoever it might be.
A little guy.
He's not blocking against the big guys at the line of scrimmage.
No touchy, yeah.
I have such a hard time getting the image out of that playoff game 2 years ago when the Patriots just took him out physically.
Yep.
That's the lasting image of Travis Kelce for me. For all the highlights he has, that's the lasting image for me every time I think about it.
I mean, he's great at catching the football.
He's made
some ridiculous grabs. He's a hell of a player if you're throwing him the ball. But the other parts of being a tight end, he don't really do all those parts all that well.
I wonder if they put Gilmore on him and just play nickel behind him in zone. Too deep, man underneath. Let's chase the underneath crap, but we got help, and we're going to get back. We're not going to get the big play over the top. You're not going to have Chad Marsh out there running around chasing backs.
It was Chung 2 years ago in that playoff game, most of the game.
Yep. So maybe it's Chung again.
But I don't disagree.
But beat his ass at the line of scrimmage.
I don't disagree with Rodney Harrison right now.
No, I mean, Rodney's smart. He knows what he's talking about. He's
Gronk's
right
not moving at full speed.
He's right in a sense. Like, I said it this week.
That foot, that ankle, the Achilles, something down
whatever
there.
It is. Yeah.
Something in that area that he's dealing with.
You say Achilles. That'd be concerning.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. Don't rule it out. Don't rule out anything.
I don't rule out anything. It could be his back. It could be a nerve. You know, that is sort of, you know, say nerve dead in his back, but he couldn't be reacting that well. Could be anything. Could be a neck nerve. Who knows? But he's listed as an ankle. So you have to go with that.
That could just be ankle area.
Area.
It could be.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Ankle. It's near the ankle. Like if it's the Achilles. Oh, that's part of your ankle. It's all in the same department,
hoof,
right?
Paw.
Yeah. Paw. Right?
Yeah, hoof hardy.
He doesn't drop what? That ball that turns into an interception. He's got like 8 or 9 catches for like 96 yards. If he doesn't drop that ball, that was
how weird is that? To Jim's point here, listen about
off.
That. Gronkowski last week, where it seemed like, okay, he was there and tried to force the ball at times, wasn't that effective. Ends up getting 7 grabs. If he catches that ball, doesn't deflect it out, that's 8 grabs for over 100 yards and a touchdown.
It's pretty good.
And it didn't even seem like he was there.
Pretty
that's
good, and
scary.
He wasn't at his best.
Yeah. So.
But right now, I think Kelsey's the harder guy to cover. That's just sort of stating where they're both at right now. Kelsey's at full health. He looks good.
Okay.
He always does.
Except you sit here and you hear
don't ask him to block.
Like we're talking about this.
He will be physically beaten down.
See, we're talking about this. People are hearing it. You know, the criticism's been out there about Rob. He doesn't look like something's wrong. He'd be sitting there for 10 days and they're just resting his kid. And he's got to come out like a nut on Sunday night. I'm tired of hearing about Travis Kelsey. Travis freaking Kelsey. Good God. He's an H-back, glorified H-back with wheels. Kid can run. He's like Frank Wycheck with wheels. That's what he is.
Gronk was actually asked about this week, and he didn't want to touch it. And just said, yeah, he's really good, you know, good or great player, whatever phrase he used.
Awesome. Super player.
Yeah, super.
Super awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Keep telling him.
That's all I said. Not really going to get into that. Tyler is in Seekonk on this. Hey, Tyler.
Yeah, hi. You guys like to point out that Gronk is a way better tight end than Travis Kelsey, but to me, availability is one of the best traits a player can have, and Gronk is either hurt or he's not available to the team. But to me, Travis Kelsey is always, always on the field.
Okay. Always on the field. How many games did he play in his first year in the NFL? Anyone want to look that up, or do you want me to just tell him so he doesn't have to look?
Yeah, go ahead.
One. Played one game that year. What do you mean? 2013 played one game.
Yeah.
Since 16, then, though.
16, 16, 15. And all 5 so far this year. It's pretty good.
If that's how we really want to debate it, based on number of games played, we can do it. And
there's
you go. That's one way to tilt it in his favor.
If you've got a dead even, then you give it to Kelsey because of his availability, sure.
Make it this simple. Swap the tight ends. Put Travis Kelsey in this offense. Go line up at tight end. Is he going to affect coverage the way Rob Gronkowski affects coverage when he breaks the huddle? That answer is no.
No.
Travis Kelsey is a little bit like Alex Smith. Alex Smith is good, but he could be really good when you put all the little different working parts around him and you get smoke over here and some mirrors and some magic and poof, over here and we'll pull the rabbit out over here and we'll do a little fake reverse. Then we'll slip the tight end out the backside. You can't sit there and just go, you can't bring Travis Kelsey in this offense. Fake it to Sony Michel, deep play action. Run a 2-man route and say, we're going to stick
so
it to Kelsey.
Ask yourself
there's
this
your
question.
Difference,
you've
folks.
Seen this matchup before. Have the Patriots done a good job of taking away Travis Kelsey in these games?
In some of them, yeah. Yeah, not all of them.
Right.
Pretty effective out there.
Consider the talent,
Right? Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think they do better than a lot of teams would do?
Yes, they do.
I think so.
It's like the Jimmy Graham days when he was with the Saints. I heard all about that Jimmy Graham and Aqib Talib shut his ass down.
Who's the bigger factor? Is it Tyreek Hill or is it Travis Kelsey on Sunday
Should
night?
Be Tyreek Hill.
That's how I feel. Tyreek Hill's dangerous.
Yeah.
The
that's
speed
the
is dangerous.
You're
speed,
yelling. You're screaming at
kills.
You're screaming at the team, man. We're not giving up the stuff over the top. That's what they're doing all day long, because what did they kill plus with last year?
Yard plays. But this is what we were talking about earlier, Zoe, with Tyreek Hill. You don't have to beat him with a throw over the top.
Nope. Could be a slant.
You could get him on a slant in one of these RPO plays, and he could run by everybody.
Yeah.
Just give him a lane, and he's gone.
Yep. Patriots have been great at tackling out in space.
Going to be a lot of that GTFB this Sunday. Don't you feel that way?
Get the F back.
Kind of weird to say, but Jonathan Jones is going to be big in this game.
That is a weird thing to say.
And J.C. Jackson, too.
I heard Bert say it perfectly this morning. This offense for Kansas City does a great job of spreading everybody out all over the field. They make the field big, is how he said it. And it's true. Where the hell is everybody going to be? 617-779-0985. Your thoughts on both the Red Sox for this coming weekend and the Patriots on Sunday night. David Price will be on the mound for Sunday night's Red Sox game against Houston. Game two. Alex Cora has spoken about that. We'll get to his comments coming up.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Alex, given David's outing in Game 2 and his track record as a postseason starter, didn't that give you pause for naming him Game 2? And if not, why not?
No. I saw him last year. I think it was Father's Day. He pitched against Houston in Houston, and he pitched well. I saw him in the playoffs against the Astros. He pitched well. This year, he pitched in Houston that Saturday, pitched well against them, and he pitched here against the Astros and pitched well again. I know how good he is. I know he's been he's pitched well against them. I trust the guy.
Thank you, Jim. You think Jim came up with that?
Yeah, shackles on my knees. Yeah, yeah. Get shackles on my feet. Shack is a song. Shackles, it sounds like.
Sporto for Pyro's pets. We'll make great pets. I will make a great pet. You not so much. You're gonna mess in the house. You're gonna soil the garage where you're kept.
Robots are not gonna like Zoe.
No.
They're also not big on personality, I don't feel. You know?
I ain't got time for that.
I don't have a lot to begin with, and I can lose whatever I got.
See a robot doing parkour?
If that's what is required.
Then you'll do it.
Did you just ask if we saw the robot doing parkour?
Parkour. Just watch
it. I swear to God, he's not here this week. Yes, we talked about this.
No.
We talked about this.
Let's get this out in the open. Are you all right this week? Is everything okay in your world?
Here we go.
I know. It's been a long. It has been a long week. Had a lot going on. Are you okay?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure you're okay.
I heard you doing a robot thing earlier.
And I used the word parkour.
I didn't hear parkour. I heard you talk to him about, you know, which robot are you going to work for and what the thinking of that.
Did you see the robot videos this week? That was how it all started.
I did not hear that part of it, but I just looked at only in Boston and Twitter. There it is. The robot doing parkour. And I like The Office, as you know, and I watch that a lot. And what's one of my favorite episodes when it starts of Michael and Dwight and Andy doing parkour.
That is so unbelievable. Those robots running and jumping up on boxes and stepping over logs and jumping over the log. It's so good, I almost don't believe it.
It's their ability to just go up level to level, but on one foot.
But on the other hand, I do believe it, and I have faith in them, and I believe they will be wonderful as when they take over.
All right.
And I'm on board.
But back to you. Yeah. I want to make sure everything's okay.
I'm good now. I just saw it. I saw, wow, that's
there was cool. That today. There have been other things this week. Nixon thing. We had this 20-minute conversation, and then you didn't realize that we were discussing it because Trot Nixon had thrown out the first pitch last week.
I didn't know he threw it out last week.
Day after the McCartney
concert. I went to Paul McCartney, and I did not see the game.
And
it's so hard to come in. You know, when you come in at 1 in the morning and you're getting up at 6 to come in here, get your kids out the door, and then you have no time to even sit back and watch the game, and then you're asking me about a 3-2 count in the middle of the eighth.
And you did not speak on the show the next day.
No, I'm not concerned about that, though.
To the point where you actually admitted so to, who was it? Our boss.
Our program director, yes.
No, but he asked me, how cool is McCartney? That was pretty cool. Huh?
Yeah, it was really good. I didn't talk on the show the next day.
His quote was, I was trash the next day. I didn't even speak.
But that happens. I did slide to catch a golf ball, so I wouldn't go on the ice yesterday, and I got up and I hit my head behind Hardy.
I'm more talking about we're talking about things, and like you're not there. Like you're physically here, but
yeah.
I don't know where you've gone.
I have the ability to tune out. Like if I don't find it interesting, I'll just shut down. And I'll concentrate on what I'm doing, and I'll bring it back later. Like, I might be trying to formulate something later for the show while you guys are talking about something ridiculous like a robot.
Okay, what were you formulating earlier when we were talking about the robot?
I was trying to get into the pay-stub thing. So we had pay-stubs today, so ADP.
Okay, do you want to talk about that now?
No.
You said you were trying to formulate things for the show.
I just want to make sure I get paid today. That's all. I got paid today. Everybody's going after
Well, you really earned it this week.
People are running.
Let's talk about that. Was it a good paycheck for you?
I felt like.
I'll do the Marshall hook out. Let's talk about Paul McCartney.
Wednesday, I felt like Troop coming in after going to a wedding, and he didn't watch the New Orleans games that you were ready to talk to.
Yeah, that was a preseason football game. Yeah. This was a Red Sox playoff game.
Yeah, but it was McCartney with like 100 people.
I
saw a Beatle live, and I saw him sing "Hey Jude," and I almost cried.
I talked to you beforehand. You weren't even that excited about it.
I wasn't.
You said you didn't like it. You get there.
You fill the room. And
6 or 7 vodkas later, he loved the Beatles.
Yeah. 10, or you know, and, yeah, eating a lot of carbs, and it catches up. And you're like, "Hey man!" And the lights come on. It's just him and a piano. Hey Jude. Mm-hmm. And you're like,
wow, 10 vodkas, and he's booking his next trip to Abbey Road.
Like, I'm gonna go on that thing. I'm gonna walk. I did that walk. I did that when me and Gostowski did that when we went to London. Yeah. Just walking across. I was doing the arm swinging. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
10 Tito's in. You know what? I want to get rid of the boat, get a yellow submarine. Yep. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. And just keep it going after this. Go home, throw a suit on. Get the Bill Belichick Foundation tonight to Seaport if you're going down. Tony La Russa and Joe Torre will be there. Baseball themed event. It's going to be pretty cool.
Anybody else?
I'll be emceeing that.
Who is it? La Russa and Torre?
Yeah, La Russa and Torre and Bill and Gerard Mayo is going to do the live auction. So, pretty cool group of people. Going to do a lot of baseball stuff tonight.
What time does that start?
That starts, I'm going to be there at 6. I think it starts around 7.
I'm going to swing by there.
I think you should get
I'm
there
gonna come
early.
See
be
it.
Nice.
I'm going to come see
That's
it.
Nice, Beatles. See, Beatles
I'm going to come by and support. I was there last year.
That's great. We had Brad Stevens last year. It was awesome.
No.
Was it?
No, it was 2 years ago. Last year was Berman.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, Chris Berman. Yeah. But he's had a good list of guys. Really has. It's a good event.
We played Alex Cora at the top of this segment, talking about David Price. His rationale for starting David Price is that he's pitched well. Like, that was his response, which you believe it's sort of wishy-washy. I think that he's not fully on board with this.
I just go by with what I've heard throughout the course of these last 10 days with Alex Cora. When he is asked a question, he is so to the point. Yes. Nope. Did you think it? Did you ever waver? Did you think about putting Brock? Nope. Nope. This is what got us here. This is what we do. This is what we do. We've done it all year, and this is what got us here, and this is what's going to make us advance. He's asked a question regarding David Price. It's like, it's at Adam Jones. No, but that means you're not 100% in. You're giving us a line, and then when you go into a long description and talk about it, and I've known this from being around people, you elaborate and elaborate. You're trying to feed me a line of BS is what you're trying to do. I don't need this crazy explanation. It's too much information. You know, when someone's lying to you and they're giving you too much information, it's like ding, 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 ding.
Tim in San Fran has got something on Price. Tim, what do you got for us?
Guy, this is the perfect situation for our resident mental midget, David Price, because it's a big game, but he's going to be out there on the mound, and with apologies to Big Jim Murray, he's going to be like, oh, you know, there's a lot of people here, but half of them are watching the Patriots game, so it's not really on me right now. So I think he'll do just fine, because the pressure will be lessened, because he knows that he crumbles.
No, wrong.
Yeah, but the Red Sox
eyes will be on him for an hour and 20 minutes. Yeah. You will have all eyes on him.
All right, then we're screwed.
That's it.
Wouldn't that be something too?
Oh, forget it.
Pre-game warm-ups and on a I don't think they'd put the Red Sox game on a Jumbotron. People have asked me that. A lot of people this week. We talked about it on the show this week. So you think I remember that.
They should.
You shouldn't.
I know there's a point
it's
where
it's a game to play. It's a big game to play. You can't have players mulling around peeking up at the Jumbotron. Can't do it. Can't do that. Because that's an hour before kick, man.
Jumbotron's not for the players. Jumbotron be for the fans.
There's enough TVs in the stadium. You could put that on. You don't have to put it
okay,
on.
Here's a fair way to do it. Put it on all the TVs on the concourses until the Patriots game starts.
I agree with that.
Right? Or, is that an easy way to do it?
Or the big thing by the CBS club. The outside big screen.
It's outside the stadium, though.
Yeah. Well, it's fans.
Put it on the concourses until the game starts.
But there'll be fans. That whole concourse will be packed with fans.
And then once the game starts, all bets are off.
Right.
You're not watching the Red Sox game, not the Patriots game. But for the first hour plus, put it on the concourses. People can watch it there. I don't know what they plan on doing, but that's what I would do.
What channel's the Red Sox on?
Calling the shots.
What channel's the Red Sox on?
It's TBS again, right? TBS. They have the ALCS, too.
Yeah.
Oof. Great. Can't wait for more of that.
See the area, of Gillette Stadium dropping the cable package to pick up TBS. We've eliminated that.
617-779-0985. We're hoping to have Phil Perry with us coming up next hour. We will have RJ Bell with us at 1 o'clock here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy has headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Bruins beat the visiting Edmonton Oilers last night 4-1 at TD Garden. Now on to Saturday, where they will take on the Red Wings at 3 o'clock. Game moved up because the Red Sox and Astros will do game one of the ALCS. It's going to be Chris Sale going up against Justin Verlander. David Price will pitch on Sunday night opposite Garrett Cole. Game one of the NLCS happens tonight as the Dodgers visit the Brewers. Chris Hogan back at today's walkthrough for the Patriots. Perfect attendance after Hogan missed yesterday's session with a thigh injury. Also yesterday, a couple of players were still limited, including Rob Gronkowski and Josh Gordon, as the Pats get ready to take on Kansas City Chiefs Sunday night at Gillette Stadium. Giants lost to the Eagles last night. They moved to 1-5 on the season after a 34-13 loss. Headlines are brought to you by the engagement ring specialists at Long's Jewelers with custom design services and financing options. Long's Jewelers, how Boston and New England get engaged. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Get your headlines anytime in your flash briefing on your Alexa voice activated speaker or right here in 30 minutes.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5 The Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
RJ Bell coming up at 1 o'clock. Him and Jim are going back and forth right now.
Jim said he's square.
Trying to get the connection sorted out.
Is he sharp or square,
Jim? Between here in Vegas.
Every week.
Last year, it was so seamless, right? Smooth. Feels like every week there's a back and forth getting it sorted out.
Technology's evolving. Some of these are getting phased out, so.
Including the one that we're using. David is in the car. David.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Hey.
Yes, we can.
Awesome. I've been listening to you guys for a couple years now. I think you guys are great.
Thank you.
I love the show. I think all of you guys do a good job.
Except what?
But there's one theme that is ongoing with this show.
Uh-oh.
It's a pet peeve of mine.
Okay.
Where Hardy and Beetle, you guys keep ganging up on my man, Zoe.
There you go.
You guys keep like ganging up
like,
on him.
Like they've been perfect every day.
He doesn't have any backup. Yeah. What's that?
Like they're perfect every day for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I think you deserve your paycheck for this week. I think
Thank you
worked hard. You did a good job.
What do you think about a race?
You have anybody in your? You need somebody in your corner, though. I'll come in there and back you up.
Thanks, brother.
I 55 listen to the Morrissey. Show every morning. I love the show. But that's all I'm saying. Give the guy a break.
You dropped that, right? You got that? I love you. Love the passion.
I ain't even mad. I'm not even mad about that.
Mad about that. That's how you bring it. That's how you bring it. Bring that every day.
What do you mean he has no back? He has every caller ever on his side. Right? You think Hardy and I could ever get a caller to call up and defend us against you?
No.
No shot.
Yeah.
Oh, he's like the star treatment, like in the NBA.
Yes.
Take a few plays off. Yeah.
Former athlete, star
What's
treatment.
Lovable
Zoe.
Everyone loves
Zoe. Who's
your problem today?
Who says I don't like Zoe? Then nobody.
Nobody
who says I don't like Beetle?
Yeah,
a million people.
Right.
You guys
like to nitpick.
Who says I don't like Hardy? I'm sure all kinds of people say I don't like Hardy.
Every day.
Try and bring up a nice conversation about it. Robots and the smart people we have working on him. I get attacked. You know?
Well, we had already talked about it.
We didn't know what you did, but
I know.
Why I knew you did, but I didn't know.
Why would you know? You're only the first name on the show.
I knew you did talk about it, but I didn't know you talked about the parkouring of it.
Yeah.
That's all. And Only in Boston tweeted it out. Yeah, so I'm just checking that out. That's all.
Okay.
So the way to get through to you is to tweet you during these hours of 10 to 2.
Tweet at me, and I'll be able to respond.
During these hours of 10 to 2,
It's so much easier than Slack to respond on Twitter. Like, it's quick. And Slack, you'd open it up.
So, Jim, from now on, just tweet him show notes. Stories.
I think we should just do an open Twitter thread with all of our show planning and stuff. What if we do that?
Sure.
Listeners, send in ideas. Send Zo all your
show ideas.
Right now, at Scott Zolak. Send your tweets at Scott Zolak. Any idea you want for the show.
It's crowdsourcing, right? You know? Yeah. We'll like crowdsource the show. It's very new. It's fresh. Nice way to continue to bring in the younger crowd. We'll crowdsource it every day.
Like it.
Yeah. I think that's what we'll do.
We'll bring you
but
the
then
show
it'll be
that
too
you want.
Many tweets, and then you run the risk of Zo being like, "Nah, I'm good with the Twitter. There's too much going on there."
Next time Zo's not paying attention and doesn't realize it, we won't say anything. But it's your job as listeners to tweet Zo to make sure that he knows he just said something that was said earlier.
That's a fair compromise.
Hey, Zo, they're talking about this. I know it's not interesting, but make sure you respond.
Okay, Hardy and I will no longer call him out for it. The listener, it's now the job of the listeners to tweet at Scott Zolak. And that's how it will be done.
And like our pictures on, you see it driving in on big boards. What do they call those things on the side of the road?
Billboards.
Yeah, those things.
The show that the people
can
want.
Can we still call them out on stuff like
the
that?
Show
he
that
can't remember the word
want.
Billboard. Are we allowed to bring that up?
No, that's the CTE.
Oh,
so
gee, God forbid I forget the name.
You're not
billboard.
Allowed to call that out. That's CTE. That's not his fault.
Aquatic
it's like when he calls
the aquarium, the big aquatic center. Are we allowed to mention it?
Work with him a little bit.
Right.
Work with them just a little bit.
Right, it's all right.
By the way, in the garden?
Yes.
They run our faces on those like image video boards. They're not quite TVs.
Really?
But they're like advertising
boards
are in the concourse.
The scroll boards.
We're up there all the time.
No way.
You walk through the concourse, you're seeing all of our shows on rotation.
Excellent.
Nice.
Excellent.
Yeah, I was walking through the concourse of the garden the other night, and I go, there I am.
Flood it.
That's me.
Look at you.
There's Zo.
There you are. Be great.
We're on a billboard now too. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah, on 93.
Awesome. Yeah. Wow. Brandon's in Roxbury. Last
I'm at
night
least on a billboard.
Thursday night football. That's Giants are melting down. Oh. What do you have on Eli and OBJ?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
I just want to say the Giants. They don't have no presence at all. If you look at the Patriots, you got Bill Belichick. Who else? You got Detroit, Matt Patricia, Mike Tomlin on Pittsburgh. Giants have no presence at all, you know.
I got something for you.
Are you a Giants fan, Brandon?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, and what's going on with Eli, and it starts with Eli, but it starts with the head coaches as well. They're not utilizing their teams right. They're not utilizing Odell Beckham right or Saquon Barkley. And we look at KC, we look at the Rams, they're utilizing these play actions. We see with Tom Brady with these short passes that lead them to big runs. They're not using that with Odell Beckham.
Yeah. Okay, so well, Odell Beckham went into the locker room while his offense was huddling to attempt to get into field goal range right before the end of the first half. And they were in spread. It was single back. Barkley had actually had a hell of a run on that. It was a little flip to the right. And Odell Beckham went into the locker room with time still left on the clock. Pat Shurmur is that head coach. If that head coach had any balls and you want to find a point where you can look back during a season and say, I got the team's attention. You send 13 home at halftime. He shouldn't have played a snap in that second half. That's embarrassing to that team. It's embarrassing to that league and that head coach. I'd even go back further to the personnel part of it. You drafted the wrong guy at number 3. He's a hell of a player, Barkley.
Now,
I love him.
You're getting to the heart of the matter.
You're wasting Beckham. You're wasting Barkley. Maybe you should have taken one of the young quarterbacks. Maybe should have built it around them. And maybe Beckham would have been in his ear saying, give me the ball. Maybe he'd catch 10 balls a game. You're stuck now. You're paying him. He ain't going anywhere. So now he's going to be this petulant little child trying to run the team. That ain't going to go over well. You got a lot of games left. You're week freaking 5. You want to do that for double digits more? See Nate Solder getting beat all night? My God. I mean, they got problems across the board on both sides. But it's just a shame. They're wasting the talent of Saquon Barkley because that kid's special. He's good.
Let's talk more about that because I love ripping on the Giants, and I love ripping on them for taking Saquon Barkley.
I'd be more excited to watch the Jets. I really would. And the Giants have more high-end talent.
Let me tell you
and
right
that
now,
is sad.
The Jets have a future.
They do.
The Giants do not. Always a fun topic because they are melting down. We'll get to that. Also, I see a Celtics call on our board, one that I definitely want to get to. It's based on Gordon Hayward and his health. We'll get to that. And more calls again on everything coming on this weekend, both Red Sox and Patriots.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
Is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand on this Friday. Any update from Phil Perry? I'm afraid he could miss the show today. That's what I'm afraid.
Would people know? Like, hey, they missed Phil today. Send Giardi or Curran in. Take a little shot at Phil. Make sure he's on his way here. See if he's listening. If he does, though, irritates that stupid dance and stuff. Like, creepy.
I hope he comes in here and he dances right in your face.
Oh, God.
That's what I'm hoping for. If you don't mind.
Creep everyone out.
617-779-0985. We'll go to Brett, who's in Worcester. He's got a Celtics thought. What do you got, Brett?
Hi, Brett.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Zoe, what's going on, man?
What's up?
Hey, so I called in. You know, I was the first person to tell you guys that Gordon Hayward would not be coming back 100% this season. Yep. Zoe, you called me negative. I told you I was being realistic. I just want to know if you've changed your thoughts on who the starting five for the Seas are going to be this season. Thank you.
Okay. Wait. What yep. do you mean when you say he's not healthy? What's his health issue related to his injury?
Well, I mean, everyone's been saying it themselves. He doesn't look himself. You know, isn't that 100% when you look yourself? You're 100%.
Yeah, but it's not related to his injury that he suffered last year, as far as we know.
Right. As far as you.
Oh, sorry, Brett. I didn't mean to do that. No, as far as we know, based on what he said it's his back. It's not his ankle.
Nothing to do with his ankle.
He's hurt his back. That's completely unrelated.
I mean,
his call earlier in the offseason was, he won't be 100%. He won't be ready to go because of the injury. Well,
but it's about the ankle, like being turned loose.
Right.
Yeah. This is another different
completely
issue.
Different injury. Right. If Gordon Hayward's telling the truth. I don't know why he wouldn't be.
I know what your ideal starting five would want to look like, but I don't know. Ask me a month from now. Let's see how they're playing in a month. Let's see how Kyrie's knee really looks. Let's see if he's really cutting. Like they're like, wow, he looks really good. Let's see these kids another year into it. Whole offseason under their belt.
His back has bothered him in the past, but that he would recover quickly because he's dealt with this in the past. And he said that this time, though, that the pain in his back sort of lingered a little bit. And so he dialed it back and he was not going to go all out, you know, at the end of the preseason. So he missed that game on Saturday and he's going to get his rest and he thinks he'll be fine. So I would say that if you think he's not going to be 100%, it's because he's just not back into a rhythm and he's not. I don't know. He's not playing at full speed yet, right?
Yes.
Like NBA preseason. I know Brad Stevens has been very upset with his team at times, but I have no reason to get worried about the Celtics yet. I mean, I can't do that yet. We're worried. What are we worried about here?
I don't know. That's why I said call back in a month. Like you get a month under your belt. That's a pretty good sample size as to, okay, here's the way this thing looks and the way it's going to look here for a while as you head into this thing. You can't come out of the gate and just get after your starting five right now.
To go back to the game last night, Thursday Night Football with the Giants, they are going to continue to look worse and worse for not drafting a quarterback.
Wait until they start getting more and more people around the line of scrimmage when teams are going to go bigger and you're going to go big personnel and you're going to force them to throw the football. You're going to come out of nickel. You're going to be regular. You're going to try and shut down the run. Because you only got one thing right now, that's Saquon Barkley.
Do you know what the good news is?
What?
They're a bad team. They're going to get another high pick.
Yep.
That would be what I'm hanging on to right now. That you're right there at the bottom of the barrel. It's the Giants. It's the Cardinals. Like the Falcons only have one win, but I don't think that's going to continue. They'll climb, but they're near the bottom. Raiders, Cardinals,
yeah,
Giants.
Right.
The Giants are a train wreck. You think they're going to get any better?
No.
Their quarterback can't play anymore.
That quarterback beat you twice in two of the biggest games.
Yeah, but he could. Amazing. That was a that wasn't recent.
They had good teams, but they had good teams. They weren't great throws. They're good throws.
Oh, 7 years ago. Like, well, that's an eternity in football.
I know, but it's still him. Like, that guy's fault. He hasn't looked good. He really hasn't.
No, he has not.
I just thought with the running back, with a new coach, simplifying things, getting the backside tackle, playing tough defense, making sure he obtained Odell Beckham Jr., that was going to somehow help resurrect him for a year or two. And it hasn't. He's looked awful. To the point where he can't even decide where to throw the ball. At least put it in general vicinity of a player. Like, he gets caught in between and he gets thrown around and you can see the rush. Get rid of the ball.
Was Ben McAdoo right? Was Ben McAdoo on to something?
McAdoo and his cheesecake play sheet? Maybe.
Here's the thing. McAdoo didn't have the replacement, which is why he looked bad.
Yeah.
But he knew it.
You know who his backup quarterback is? Kyle LaLeta from Richmond. Former lacrosse player. Guy that we were talking about like crazy. Around draft time. Hey, that's the guy you could get to help come here and back up Brady and maybe be the next guy.
So my problem with McAdoo was always when he was the coordinator under Coughlin, he would take chances and you know, more, it was more aggressive as a play caller. And then when he became the head guy and it was on him, he pulled back a little bit. But is that because of Eli or was that because he stepped into the head coaching role and was less aggressive?
It's a good question.
Because Eli has not thrown the ball down the field this year either. I heard a stat.
But honestly, Jim, I don't think he can.
The throw that Odell Beckham made last week to Saquon Barkley was the longest thrown ball in the air all season that the Giants have made. Only like 25 yards.
Headline here at NJ.com today. Thanks for the memories, Eli. It's time for the Giants to play Kyle LaLeta. So, it's, you know, there are stories being written down there. This one by Matt Lombardo. Saying the inconvenient truth for the Giants after Thursday night's drubbing by the Eagles is that there's nothing left to gain from playing quarterback Eli Manning. And I would say that Matt Lombardo is 100% right about this. What's there to gain other than ensuring another high draft pick to continue to rebuild that team? Because if I were them, even though you have LaLeta, I'd draft another quarterback.
I thought he was good in the preseason. We called that game down. I know it was the last preseason game, but you made so much ado about Danny Etling's little 86-yard scamper. LaLeta moved the team. Ball came out quick.
Great.
Good pocket presence.
And he might be the next guy. He might be the heir.
You got to do something. You got to shake something up.
He might be terrific. I would still draft another guy.
Oh, yeah.
I keep drafting quarterbacks until you know for sure that you've got one. John's in Las Vegas. Hi, John.
Hey, Beetle. Yeah. I was kind of wanted to call and defend you. Scott said he didn't have fans who would call in and do that.
Yeah. For the most part, yeah. We don't have very many people in our corner. I get that.
Well, there's one right here. I love Hardy's sense of humor. Beetle, I remember you back when you were the third man in on Felger and Mav. I thought you put up with both of their crap very well. You do have fans. But when you now you mention it, you know who is terrible on the radio? That would be Sarge.
That's a prank call, and it was a good one. That guy has gotten us like how many times now?
Oh, a half dozen easy.
Oh, man.
What else, Ken and Lowell?
That is terrific. This is becoming a thing now. The
Sarge.
The calls at the end with Sarge is a terrible thing.
Doing an event with Sarge next Saturday.
I can only imagine,
yeah.
Artie?
A birthday party for 12 hours?
No, it's a great fundraiser. It's the Journey Forward Gala, and it's a great cause. People were paralyzed that, you know, they're told you're never going to be able to walk again.
That's awesome. And
they're walking again.
Yeah,
it's an unbelievable program. Journey Forward does great stuff. And somehow, and I ended up emceeing something that Ray Bourque was supposed to do like last year, earlier this year, and he couldn't do it. And they're like, oh, last minute thing, can you do the live auction? I did it. It was great. I loved it. I said, yes, I'd love to do the thing in the fall. Come to find out, Sarge is DJing.
This hour,
I'm I'm a little worried.
Okay, don't
just
be.
A little
don't
worried.
Be. It'll be great. This hour of Zolak and Bertrand is brought to you by Stop and Shop, official supermarket of the New England Patriots. They have everything you need to make your Sunday night football party or tailgate a huge success. Get details at stopandshop.com. After these headlines with Hardy, we'll have RJ Bell on the line from Vegas.
Nice.
And Phil Perry from NBC Sports Boston is here. He'll get a chance to talk to RJ for the first time. That's next.